Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Sans Pants Network.
The town of Fairburn Point is nestled near the Kirkman Channel. On the other side of the Kirkman Channel is a place known only to the locals as the Lonely Tower. A imposing presence on the horizon. Something that people would best just forget. You push them not up, not down, not left to right, not forward to back, not diagonal. Mm-hmm. You push them some other way. And then they're gone. They are trapped currently in that dimension. They're a problem for later now.
Okay, I would like to punch myself in the head until I am unconscious. And then I would like to use not dead yet. Hold on. Not dead yet, which lets me, if I am unconscious and need to roll death saving throws, I gain the benefits of a short rest.
Okay. Captain Bell Barham gets enough to say, what are you...
And I need to reboot.
And then
oh, no, I don't breathe. I just stand back up again.
All right, you're on 39 out of 44 of you. Good job.
I don't know if they will be back, I say to Captain Bob Barham. We must keep moving.
Captain Bell Barham nods. You turn back to the bartender, mm-hmm. who has poured now two glasses of rum. Mm-hmm. Captain Bell Barham takes hers, well, not like a shot glass.
Yeah.
She swigs her shot down and then looks expectantly at you. Oh. Your drink?
Fish says it's funny to make me try.
It is.
I'll pick it up and splash it on my face.
Maybe. I don't know if you actually have a hole that the rum can go into.
Well,
or if it's just kind of like a surface that you splash it on.
My face is kind of like a helmet. Almost.
Sure, yeah.
So I can probably lift it up, but there's just probably nothing underneath.
Sure. Wherever the smoke comes out of.
Yeah, exactly. Whatever hole that is. All I right. can put rum
Every
in.
Time you spew, it just smells like off alcohol.
Just smells like sickly sweet.
Yeah.
Cooking off the sugars in a rum.
Yeah.
Anyway, whether or not the rum affects you is largely irrelevant. Then Captain Bell Barham says, the man who was here before us.
Yes.
She's talking to the bartender.
It's a helpful apology.
Which way did he go? The bartender thinks for a moment and then he says a direction that mm-hmm. doesn't make sense to you.
Cool.
Captain Bell Barham seems to understand what's being said, though, and she leads you down to over to one of the walls, which mm-hmm. you realize has a you can pass through it completely. There's actually no wall there,
class.
But there is also a wall there. So who's to say what's going on?
Swings and roundabouts, walls and not walls.
You walk to this wall. Oh, this is one of the walls that has windows to the outside. Mm. But you walk through this wall and then you find yourself in another room.
Cool.
We'll get back to you.
Uh-huh.
You are searching for, Fish and Mr. Bellany, you're searching for the Matrix Revolutions. You get back to the fireplace, which is where you last saw him. What would you like to do?
And there's no sign of the Matrix Revolutions anywhere.
Would you like to look around?
Oh, yeah, we'll have a look. We'll have a sus. I imagine we'll do the thing that cartoon dogs do when they're sniffing something out with their nose goes on the ground, their bums go really high in the air.
You almost immediately pick up the trail. There is it's a very unpleasant thing actually to discover. You see that where the Matrix Revolutions was sitting, there's a bloody smear and then there's drag marks leading away to that corridor that you were in before. Mr. Bellany probably hasn't spotted this yet. He might be physically looking around somewhere else. He turns back to you and says, have you find anything, lass? Found anything? Sorry. I said that weird. Have you found anything, lass?
I say, and then sort of glance at the ground and then back up at Mr. Bellany.
What the devil's this then? He says, crouching down. We should find the Matrix Revolutions. He is in trouble.
Yeah. We just start walking following that bloody, bloody trail.
Have you any experience in combat?
Against fish?
Well, there's some big fish out there.
That's not what I'm rolling for. He gives a chuckle. There's like a kind of a dark humor to this. He shakes his head and says, no, lass, there's a... But I wouldn't be shocked, I suppose, but I don't think there's any fish out here.
I tap my net. That's good for a lot of things.
Yeah.
You wander into that corridor, which you both find disorientating. Mr. Bellany is not nearly as acquainted with this sort of shit as the captain is. And you keep following. The blood trail just stops suddenly. It looks like the blood trail's been clipped off, to be honest. It just... Like, there's a line drawn on the ground, and there's no more blood past that point.
I gingerly stick a hand in across that invisible line.
Your hand disappears in front of your eyes.
I extend my other hand out. Hold me.
Mr. Bellany grabs your hand.
I stick my head in.
It's very disorientating, but your head comes out in the other corridor that you didn't see before, but Sir Helpful did see before. There's another corridor that intersects with this one. When you're in the corridor, it's fine, but trying to perceive the corridor from your one is impossible. Because it's in another dimension, when you're there, your brain kind of does a recorrect thing and is like, well, that's forwards, that's backwards. Mm. But when... You're trying to look from one to the other. You're like, that makes no sense to me.
Oh, God. I stick my head back out. It's all good. It's just a corridor? Come on.
Oh, you do also. Sorry, I should say. You see the blood continues in this one.
We're on the right track.
All right.
How's Rat doing?
Rat gives you a thumbs up. No. The little drop seems to be kind of waiting and watching.
Off we go, gang.
As you're walking down this corridor, there's a door, one of those black obsidian doors with a diamond handle to it. You can hear a chittering noise on the other side of the door.
Awful. Worst sound a thing can make is a chittering.
Could it be a kitering?
It could be kitering. It could indeed. Yeah.
I sort of push my ear up to the door. You hearing this?
Mr. Bellany nods slowly. He has one of the... No, he has a hand axe in each hand, actually. He's... armed up as much as he can. Even Little Drop holds on tight to your shoulder.
I want to cast Speak with Animals. Do I have to say I cast Speak with Animals, or can I meld it into the texture and fabric of the game that I've just figured it out? Because I also don't want to be the person who's like, my character doesn't do magic. This is what they think's happening. But I don't know how to avoid that. I can say I cast Speak.
What we'll do is you... You expend one of your spell slots in the game rules, but what's happening is you are just knuckling down, focusing. You've been kind of paying attention to the rat, and this spell normally has kind of a duration, but what we'll say instead is that you can kind of impress upon the rat some stuff, and the rat can impress upon you some stuff. So there's no actual magic happening here. It's all kind of more body language type stuff, but... Doing this takes a bit of time. We'll say about 10 minutes, shall we say. But in that 10 minutes, you can kind of give the rat any idea and the rat can give you any idea, if that makes sense.
I'm going to vibe check the rat once more. I reckon I've spent enough time around this rat to be able to suss out some of its rat noises.
What do you want from Little Drop? You can ask for more than just a vibe check. You could literally ask me questions.
I want to know what he thinks is happening.
Little Drop explains to you that, or gives you the vibe, shall we say, that he doesn't understand exactly what's happening. This isn't something entirely out of his ballpark. Little Rat is... Little Rat.
Yeah, Little Rat.
Little Rat.
Little Drop is magical inherently and actually is definitely smarter than regular rats. And so it has some understanding of magic and understands that something magical of a nature that they are actually quite familiar with is happening. There's a creature on the other side of this door, but Little Drop is pretty confident that whatever the creature is there probably isn't friendly and maybe even isn't supposed to be there. Whatever it is, it's definitely dangerous.
Do you reckon we can take it?
Little Drop doesn't know the answer to that one.
Beans.
Worst case scenario, you might be able to fall back, but this place is kind of...
You never know if falling back will send you to another part of the tower.
Pretty much, yeah.
Worst case scenario, shut the door.
Try shutting the door, although it might be the sort of creature that once you've opened the door, it could be the sort of room that once you've opened the door, there's no clothes on it.
Yeah, okay. There's no door.
Entirely possible.
Yeah.
I share the rat's concerns with Mr. Bellany. What do you reckon?
Mr. Bellany shrugs. We need to... All I know is that the Matrix Revolutions is in trouble. And we are the only people who can help them.
I keep forgetting. All right, then. Let me click the door open.
All right.
Put the rat in my pocket.
As soon as you turn the knob, not even open the door, as soon as you turn the knob, the chittering... or catering, stops suddenly and abruptly. Then you still open the door, I assume?
Okay.
The
one hand on net. I put the other hand on my net.
This is not the same as the other room in the corridor adjacent to this one. It's slightly different, but not entirely different. It is a room. You can see walls, roof, floor, maybe even some features like windows, which you can see out of to the outside, which boggles the mind once again. But you can see outside of this room, you can see the features of the room. The room has some tables, chairs. There's some things on it. It looks like maybe from the furnishings, you would guess that it might be a study slash bedroom of sorts. Everything in this room is made of space.
Cool. Cool. Okay.
It's not, it doesn't look like a decal. It's not wrapped. Yeah, it's not like a, like something wrapped around objects. The objects are themselves space. Standing in the room, mm-hmm. messing about with something on a table, you see the back of Tipper. Tipper stops messing about, or you get the impression that Tipper was doing something and then suddenly stopped. And then is just standing motionless with their back to you.
Net on Tipper.
Nice. Yeah, net him good.
You throw your net at Tipper. You will hit Tipper. Your net wraps around Tipper. And then immediately you really wish you hadn't done that. As Tipper begins falling apart piece by piece by piece.
The one thing you can't net.
The thing falling apart is still in the net, right? Right?
Well, they're small enough to slip through the holes.
Small and fish?
Well, oh, no.
No!
These guys again.
No, it's
would you like
the
to describe
guys
these guys?
This is the
chitinous fellas. Chitinous.
You gave us the hint. You said chittering.
Yeah, I did. It's a swarm of them which attacks.
Oh.
A swarm?
I think I'm good at swarms. Because I'm good at catching fish. Oh, no, I'm good at breaking hordes.
Yeah. Same difference.
Now, I know I said that they slipped through the net just now, but I will allow you still to grab groups of them. Obviously, some of them will still slip through the holes, but if you want to use your net to try and... Well, you can't grapple a swarm, but if you want to use your net, does it do damage?
No.
Is my question. Interesting.
Well, the net is designed not to damage the fish.
So it is.
Yeah.
I guess actually the net can't really...
Can't do much.
...do anything, actually. That sucks.
Well,
were those things the big version of themselves?
What?
Well, when they
were
in the ocean, were they the big one and then they turned into the little ones?
Oh, I see what you mean.
You know how there was a big one and then there were little ones?
Oh, the big ones melded apart like Tipper just did?
Mm.
You're uncertain.
You can make an educated guess.
Yeah, with my intelligence of -1. Intelligence mod, sorry.
Okay. Cool. Fight a swarm. Swarms are annoying to fight assume.
No, you just set yourself on fire and grab.
Yeah, that's true. Swarms are easy, baby.
Should have lit my net on fire.
Oh my god, flaming net. You can only use it once.
Wait a minute. Yeah, I think you can because of a breaking of some rules or a warping of some rules, which, to be honest, is kind of part and parcel for this. So you have fighting style thrown weapon fighting. In addition, when you hit with a ranged attack using a thrown weapon, you gain +2 to the damage roll. So you can do 2 points of damage each time you throw this net. You can choose to do 2 points of damage each time you throw this net. I don't actually know if that is technically allowed in the rules, but I'm going to allow it.
Okay.
Alternatively, you do actually have a light hammer and 2 daggers, which are themselves throwing weapons.
Yeah, that's true.
Very funny to throw hammers. I don't think I would have done damage when I threw it because I thought it was tipper.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, of course. I assumed I'm just going to assume the first throw, was not a damaging one. But you could, choose to throw the net to deal damage now, or you could start drawing your weapons and throwing them.
Yeah, I'm going to start throwing hammers at the horde.
You hit with the first attack, and then you draw maybe one of your daggers and throw that as well. Unfortunately, that's going to be a miss, but your hammer still does hit.
And how's the horde looking?
Maybe of the swarm, the dagger hit literally just one, pinning it to the ground, but one in a swarm isn't that many. The hammer, however, as it passed through the swarm, it cleared quite a few of them. The horde is still doing all right, but you hurt it. You did deal damage, and not an insignificant amount. Nonetheless, though, the chittering noise returns, and you realize what it was coming from. The chittering chitinous creatures begin chitering their chitinous bodies towards you. They track over objects and obstacles in their attempt to get to you, but it is Bellany's turn first.
Cool.
He doesn't want to get close to them either, so he's gonna double-handed throw both of the hammers that he was given. Or hand axes, sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's
that
right.
That he was given.
My hand axes.
Both of those are hits.
I imagine the hand axes look like me, like how, you know, like if you get an action figure that
their
comes with...
They're the head of the axe is like
is
your
my head.
Yeah. He deals 5 points of damage, hitting twice.
Nice.
Dung dung.
The creature, the swarm, is bloodied.
Oh.
So it's at half health.
Oh.
Yeah.
Easy.
These creatures aren't... There's not actually... Well, in comparison to the mass that you saw beneath the boat earlier, this is a much smaller, much more manageable quantity. It is then Little Drop's turn. Little Drop's hairs begin standing on end, and electricity crackles through him.
Oh, my God.
Oh, blast.
Zap! A bolt of electricity launches from Little Drop and tries to strike at the swarm. It hits. The swarm takes 6 points of electricity damage, and the electric bolt from Little Drop to the swarm continues to track. As the swarm moves, it continues to blast around it.
Yes. Cool.
What is left of the swarm rushes at you, Fish.
Uh-oh.
And it's going to attack.
What if it didn't?
Wow, it gets a lot of attacks.
Yeah, there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Okay, first off, a bunch of them begin trying to bite down on you. As they swarm over you, crawling all around you. The biting, thankfully, does not hurt you, but then they're rending at you with their claws.
That's way worse.
So many claws.
That's so much worse.
I don't want them to come away.
You get torn up by some of the claws. You will take, it's not a lot. It's, 4 points of damage. That would have brought down any regular person, but you're a little bit tougher than that, thankfully.
I'm fish.
And then finally, their tail with that hooked, barbed end to it. They're just like a whip. Slamming it into you.
That tail looks like it should put eggs in you. That's the vibe of it.
Oh, yeah.
Ovipositor, yeah. Fortunately, they don't hit you with that either. And then it is your turn again, Fish.
I've chucked my daggers.
Mm-hmm.
I've chucked my hammer.
You have one more dagger.
Oh.
Yeah, but you can't chuck it now because the creatures are on you.
Oh, too easy. Well, I would like to attack the first creature, the closest one.
All right.
You know, if one's on my chest, slam it directly into my chest. And then I would like to use Horde Breaker. So when I've made a weapon attack, I can make another attack within the same with the same weapon against a different creature that is within 5 feet of the original target.
I've got good news and I've got bad news. Which would you like first?
Bad news.
Critical miss.
Okay, that is bad news.
Good news, first attack is a hit. Actually, if you deal enough damage, you might destroy the Horde and then the critical second attack, yeah, the miss wouldn't have happened.
Not be so bad.
Or you need to deal at least one more point of damage. Yes, all right, yep, you do.
Nice.
Oh, good.
You thankfully kill them in the first attack, and so you don't suffer the critical
Maybe
miss.
Maybe your second attack, you were going to stab yourself in the chest. Yeah. You're like, oh, there's nothing there anymore. Okay. It's okay.
I thought I was going to be like, okay. Bad news, critical hit. Good news, you're going to heaven.
Well, there you go. You destroy maybe Tipper?
It's unclear.
Yeah. Was that Tipper?
Was that Tipper?
Mr. Bellany shakes his head slowly.
I look at Rat.
Lass, I do not know the answer to that question.
I look at Rat.
Rat does give you a thumbs up this time.
Okay, let's have a look around this room.
All right. You
Can I touch the space?
You can if you want. It feels like space.
Oh, yeah, actually, bad. Is that comforting?
It sounds nice.
I don't know. That's up to you.
Nice.
Space is nice. Well, when I'm not in its vacuum and it's just on, when it is objects and I'm not in space.
Yeah.
Comforting.
Absolutely. I think it's nice.
Sure.
When space isn't sucking you off big time.
Well.
What do I find around the room?
Well, so there is a big table in the center of the room. There are the windows. There are several bookcases, two at one end, one at the other end. The two bookcases side by side, they look to be mostly filled with just books, regular books. But the singular bookcase, that has, instead of having books, it's got lots of scrolls piled up on top of each other. The items, sorry, only the furniture of this room and the room itself is made out of space. Everything else just looks to be regular objects, or at least so far, looks to be regular objects. So yeah, there's the two bookshelves that just have books. There's the scroll bookshelf, if you will. There's a table in the middle that's got some stuff on it, but you can't see it very well from where you are. There's a writing desk over to one side that has a matching chair, and it's one of those writing desks that has the
roller down
roller down thing, which is currently in a rolled down position. And then finally, there is a big telescope with some small tables and writing implements on the tables. You do not know what the telescope is meant to be looking at.
Well, check it.
All right, so that's the first thing you investigate?
Yeah, look in the telescope.
As you approach, Mr. Bellany cautions you, be careful, lass. If something were to happen to you, I haven't the magics to bring you back. I have no magics, to be honest, he says.
Me neither. I offer my hand to hold my hand. Hold my hand, please.
To what end?
Just in case.
All right, he says. He holds your hand. You look through the telescope?
Yeah.
It's just black.
Oh, okay.
I twist it around.
You move it?
Yeah.
You move it around, you look through it again?
Yeah.
It's still just darkness, black.
Mm-hmm. They're going to be looking at... I look again.
You're really trying for this one. Do you move it again or do you just look
again? Move it.
All right. You move it a second time, looking through the thing. It's pure white now.
Oh, okay. You're getting somewhere.
Can I shift it back slightly to try and find the edge of white and black?
All right, you realize you're looking into your own eye.
All right. That's just my eye.
Oh, okay then.
Do you want to go?
No, thank you. I'm all right. Yes. Anyway, let's keep... What was Tipper doing? Or what was Tipper? Or whatever that thing was. He gestures to the table the Tipper was standing
we'll go
at, the one in the middle.
Yeah, we'll go look at the table. That's the smarter thing.
There's a bag on the table. And in addition to that, that was what Tipper was at that exact moment. Mm-hmm. Tipper would have been, it looked like from the context clues you're getting, looks like Tipper was rummaging around in the bag. In addition to the bag, though, there is a big map that has been laid out. When you're first looking at it, you think it's a map of the Lonely Tower and then Fairburn Point, or the coastal area around Fairburn Point. But when you look closer and closer, you realize there's something strange to the map. You put a hand on it, and your hand goes a little bit into the map. It is a 3D map of it's thankfully, mercifully, it's just 3D.
It's not like you can go down and pick up the tower and pull it out or whatever.
Yeah. But there's no extra weird dimensions. It's a when you move around and look at it from different angles, you can kind of see, you know, on Google Maps, you can look around and buildings will have height to them. It's kind of that.
Huh.
It's just a really big that map and then the bag. That's what's on the table.
And I put my hand in the bag. What do I find?
You feel something if you just stick your hand into the
bag.
Hell
yes.
Fish. You feel something hairy.
Tip it out.
And solid, sorry. You feel hair and then something very solid beyond it.
I pull it out.
You pull out the Matrix Revolutions head. There might be more. You've got a head so far, but there could be more.
I keep pulling?
You pull out more and more of the Matrix Revolutions comes out of the bag until you get to about the midpoint, and then you can see more of those little creatures that just attacked you are working their way up his body. You see, as they slide their way further up, they split, and then you realize, actually, they're not working their way up, they're working their way down. They are becoming him.
Oh.
Okay. I put him back in the bag, and then I do the bag up.
Okay, you clasp the bag, sure.
Gonna slam the
bag. You saw that, right?
Mr. Bellany nods slowly. I think, lass, I don't think we can let that continue.
No, that's really not good. Do we...
Have you any fire? Perhaps something worse.
Surely we can make fires. There's books in this room.
Burn the scrolls.
Why do you love burning books?
Scroll fire.
Do you have flint and steel?
You'll have a tinderbox, I think.
What's around the room? What's in that writing desk?
You walk over to the writing desk, pull the chair aside, and you open the shutter part.
Yep.
You can see there is all of the utensils inside of this are unlike the other objects here. They are also made of space. Okay. You can see there are some stacks of paper, paper and parchment. There's a different consistency to paper and parchment. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you can see two different stacks. And then there's an inkwell, also made out of space, which looks like it is also made of space. And it looks like it writes with space.
Whoa.
That's really cool. Paper or parchment, which one do you think is more flammable?
I think parchment's more flammable.
Okay. And it's blank, yeah?
It's hard to tell.
It's made of space, I guess.
Yeah, it's made of space.
I have a look and I sort of squint. Can you read this?
Oh, actually, good job. You can read it. You, looking at it, you see that there is a clear pattern to the constellations.
Oh my God. What does it say?
Yeah.
Oh my God, get a good boy card.
Fish just full on learning the secrets of the universe.
Hell yeah.
Plus trying to burn a book.
Reading the, if you spend, I'll say maybe 10 minutes reading the pages on this desk,
mm-hmm.
you can now, if you want, you can see the fourth dimension. This is like a power that you can turn on and off. If you turn this power on, though, you are so distracted by it that anything that requires sight, you take a disadvantage. So that includes things like attack rolls and even perception checks.
Fair enough. That rules. Do you want some of this?
Mr. Bellany shakes his head. No, thank you, alas. I'm happy with what I can see. I'm happy with the vision that the gods gave me. If I was meant to see a fourth dimension, I would probably be living in said fourth dimension.
All right. Well, let's just try and catch the bag on fire anyway. I mean, is it leather?
The bag would... No, it's a canvas bag.
That sounds flammable to me.
All right. Do you have flint and steel?
Tinderbox.
Oh, tinderbox is fine. Yeah, no, that's fine. Are you burning anything with it, or are you just trying to burn the bag
just
itself?
Just the bag.
That will probably be a check, because trying to burn... Canvas is flammable, but it's hard to just catch canvas, you know?
Yeah.
What if I'm going...
You think you're going to need to burn something with the bag?
Just burn that parchment. You've already used it up.
Who could need it?
I'll put it in my pocket.
You put what in your pocket?
The parchment that tells you how to see the fourth dimension.
Okay, you're stowing that?
Yes.
That's absolutely up for grabs, yeah.
A steal.
Yeah, cool.
Are there any other parchments?
Yeah. Well, what about the paper? What's on the paper?
The papers, they look to be blank.
Oh, well, these ones are blank. We'll just burn these.
Okay.
They look blank to you, right?
Mr. Bellany gives you a big shrug. Lass, it's darkness upon darkness with some stars spotted around as far as I can see.
Up it goes!
All right, you
I'm
try
excited
again.
To see what it looks like to see on fire space.
This time you're able to set fire to the bag. As the bag burns, you hear...
Shush! Shush!
The creature tries to force its way out.
I stand on the bag.
It's the bag's on fire!
Yeah, but I'm not going to catch on fire. I can move my feet up and down to avoid flame.
Okay.
Well, then you're not really standing on it, are you? All right. I'm going to roll.
Uh-huh.
The creature needs to try and force its way out anyway. I'm going to roll with a slight penalty, we'll say.
Yeah.
And you're going to need to roll to not burn yourself.
Yeah, okay. Seems fair.
All right. The creature fails to force its way out, and fish, you will take some damage.
Doesn't seem fair, but...
You take 7 points of fire damage, fish.
Okay. But the creature's in, right?
The bag burns up, and as the bag burns up, at a certain point, the screaming stops, and you feel safe to step off the bag. The bag burns to a crisp, and nothing comes out.
I think that went pretty well.
Was Matrix Revolutions dead or turning into that creature in the bag? Or were they making like a doppelganger?
That's a really good question. I think maybe doppelganger.
You gotta hope.
So we should keep looking then, is what you reckon?
Yes. What do you think?
Lady, you're the one with the fourth dimensional sight.
Oh, let's have a look. I turn on my fourth dimensional sight.
This room appears to be mostly third dimension, though you are aware that there are probably more dimensions than the four that you can currently see. So there could still be more to this room that you just don't see.
You gotta read more documents.
What's on this scroll? What about these scrolls?
You have a look. The bookcase of scrolls. All right, you wander over to that and you start pulling out parchments from there. Has a lows.
Highs.
Gotta learn how to perceive all those otheries. Come on.
The first one, as you unfurl it, as I said, these ones are not made of space. They're just regular scrolls. Mm-hmm. There is a writing or something written upon the scroll. You do not recognize the language, but you recognize the letters. It would be letters from the dwarven alphabet. Or I think it's the primordial alphabet, which dwarven uses.
Okay. Can you read this?
You can read it. You speak Dwarven.
No, they just recognize the letters.
It's, I
yeah,
see, okay.
It's like an English reader looking at Italian.
Sure. Yep.
Mamma mia.
Pretty much, yeah. You could give, because you know the letters, you could give it a try.
I mean, I'll give it a go. I'll get Old May over here to have a look.
Are you just reading in your head or out loud?
In my head.
Okay. It just affects where it happens. It could happen out here or it could happen in your head.
Oh, no.
I get a bad boy card, but that's a good thing. Okay. It's for the best that this doesn't happen in your head.
Okay.
You finish the scroll and then nothing obviously happens.
Oh, can you read this?
Bellany. Highs or lows again, I guess.
Highs.
Highs? Bellany shakes his head. Nay, lass, I do not know the dwarven alphabet.
Okay. Other scrolls?
You pull another one?
Yeah.
Highs or lows?
Highs, because they're not doing anything.
Sure,
yeah,
the
first one
of course.
Yeah, in fact.
You unfurl this one. This one's just written in dwarven. So beautiful. You can read this one, actually.
Oh, what's this one?
Do you read it out loud or in your head?
In my head.
Okay.
Why would I read it out loud? That would be weird.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's part of a story. It's,
I would be reading it in my head in dwarven, but I'd be saying it out loud to Sir Bellany, to Mr. Bellany.
So you are saying it out loud?
In English.
Yeah.
Or in common.
In common. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So I'd be reading
You're translating
it.
As you go. Yeah. Sure. All right. You
read it. Like I said, it's a story. It's partway through the story. It probably begins with like chapter 8. That's the title or the heading up the top.
Ooh, spoilers.
Would you keep going?
Oh, no. No, yeah, I would.
All right. It has like Cynthia waited by the window. She couldn't stand it any longer. It had been years since she had last seen Mikhail. And then there was a knock at the door. And then, as you say that out loud, both of you hear a knock.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
I assume you pause.
Yes, I stop reading. Maybe they'll go away.
Lass, I'm not sure what you think's going to happen right now. What are we afraid of?
What? Someone's outside.
Do you think, okay.
We shouldn't be in here.
Yeah, we shouldn't be here taking someone else's things. You're right.
Rude. Whoa. What shade? Are you serious? I don't say that out loud. Are we not? No, we're fishermen. I was like, this guy's a pirate. No, he's not.
Yeah, breaking into someone's house.
I've been robbed. I feel like I'm allowed one.
You can rob back.
Yeah, that's the rules. I've the universe been robbed robs recently. You get to rob.
Retaliate.
Yeah. It's like if you lose money, you're like, oh.
I can mug I'll someone fight. Now.
You wait no? for, how long you wait? How long are you going to wait for?
I reckon I would stand still for about 40 seconds.
All right. 40 seconds passes. Nothing else happens.
Okay. Do you reckon we're safe?
He shrugs. Lass, I don't know how many times I need to tell you this. I don't know.
Should we check the door or should we just keep going?
It might be worth leaving. I don't know if there's going to be anything of interest in these scrolls. Look, I wouldn't be shocked if we opened one up and out popped the Matrix Revolutions. But it does seem unlikely.
Okay, let's keep going away from where that door knock happened.
It just kind of echoed. It probably emanated from you.
What?
Oh, well, if it came from me, do I recognize then it was probably from the book?
You could. That's up to you and that's between you and Fish.
I read another sentence.
Who's there? She called out. You say the words. Who's there? Fish's mouth just opens up And she says those words.
Mm. Uh-oh.
Do you keep reading?
Nope. I roll the straw back up.
Probably for the best, because, yeah, I realize how that happening inside you is really bad.
Oh, man.
You don't want them to come through the door if you're the door, you
One
know?
One more sentence. Well, outside would have been not great, but in your head would have been fucked up.
Yeah.
Imagine an intrusive thought that you have no control over.
Yeah.
No, yeah, good. I roll that scroll up, I pop it back on the shelf. Let's go.
It would have been so funny. Anyway, you step back out of that room.
Yep, we leave.
All right, oh, we'll come back to you. Where were you? You stepped into the new room.
Yeah, we stepped into the new room.
This room appears to be a laboratory of some sort. Mm-hmm. There's a spiral staircase in the middle that goes straight up, mm-hmm. and there is, on this bottom floor, there is a bunch of giant test tubes, or not test tubes, but vats. Thank you. Yeah, vats. And inside the vats are all manner of different creatures, all of them mundane animals. You see things like maybe a wolf, a bear, deer, different types of fish, maybe a cat and a dog as well.
Yeah, sorry, you got the boring ones.
Yeah, I didn't get any cool scrolls.
Each of the vats has at the base of it a little table and a little book sitting on the table.
Okay. What animals are there? What'd you say?
The nearest ones to you, like I said, would be deer, bear, and there'd be different types. So there's like a couple of bears.
I've never seen a bear before, so I'll go up and try and learn what it is.
There's the book in front. Yeah. Do you pick up the book?
Mm-hmm.
All right, you open the book and you see just page after page after page of names.
I don't know what that means, so I close the book again.
All right. Do you spend much as soon? How long would you have spent?
Well,
on the book?
Okay. So I don't know what a bear is because I've lived my whole life on the shores of Fairburn Point.
Yeah.
So what's like the first name I see in there?
It'd be like Arthur.
Okay. I point to maybe close the book, put a big metal hand on the tank. Arthur.
The captain nods slowly. Sure.
That's probably all I'll do with the books, and then I'll just keep looking around, searching for Jim
Tipper. Fuck. It doesn't take long until you see one of the vats has been broken open, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of slimy liquid on the floor.
Mm.
That's all you see so far. You haven't really approached it, I assume.
The exploded one, I'll go over and investigate, absolutely.
The book has been thoroughly drenched by this slime,
mm-hmm.
so you could try and pick that up.
Yeah, I will.
Oh, okay. You pick up the book, the slime comes away,
falls
off it. I'll
kind of do that thing
where
you flick the slime off, and then I'll try and delicately with my big metal fingers open it up.
It's just more names again. How long would you spend on the names?
What's the first name I see?
James.
James, I say, and point to the tank. I'm saying that to Captain Belbarum.
Captain Belbarum nods slowly and says, "Good, yes, that's good eye you have." She gestures in the slime.
Mm?
Footprints.
Mm.
You see, sure enough, a set of footprints leading away. There's two sets of footprints.
Are they bare feet?
One.
Or booted?
Booted.
Okay.
And then another set that is just something big.
Okay. Do they look, I obviously never measured everybody's foots on the ship, but do they look like they could fit Tippet?
Yes.
We'll follow them.
You follow after, and you can hear eventually a wet noise. Imagine this, but there's a lot
sort of
moisture.
To it, yeah. Okay.
You keep approaching. Captain Belbarum falls back a little bit so that you're in front. She puts a hand on your shoulder and says, "If we can, we got to take Tipper alive if he fights us. If
why?
I have a few questions for him, if you'll recall."
Okay. Understood.
So rude. Sorry, I was born sexy yesterday.
I don't know what's the right thing to do.
No
ever.
One's teaching me how to love.
I thought that would have happened by now. All right, yeah, well, we'll approach the wet plopping, Adam.
You see the back of this creature.
Whoa, it's a slode.
Slide.
Fuck.
Oh, is this one? Does this one actually have crystals in his brain? Is that the one I'm thinking
of? Yeah, this one actually has crystals.
Take them.
Well, I'll take the crystals. Okay. Can I see?
You can see the back. Imagine this is. Well, you see a giant, broad, bigger than you, back. It's whatever the creature is, it's red with green speckles on it.
Okay.
It's got a series of horned ridges down its spine, but the horned ridges don't follow any, other than being along its spine, they don't seem to follow much of a pattern. Like, it doesn't look like they're actually connected to bone or anything like that.
They're kind of like, almost like warts.
They do kind of have an appearance of warts. It's got two overlong arms and then, what do you call them? Like dog legs or whatever? Where they've got
like
that weird
backwards sort of thing.
Fronty-backsy
legs.
Its arms end in massive clawed hands, four fingers, not five. You can see it's bringing them up and bringing them down. And every time it brings them down, you hear that wet noise over and over and over again.
Is it only it I can see? No tip off?
Quite obviously, there's something in front of it, but you can't see past its massive, hulking form.
I turn my head to Captain Belbarm, looking for instruction.
The creature, it's a, do you know what a slard is?
Do I?
Yeah, you actually probably, how much does Jackson know about slards?
I feel like I know about slards. I like the shape, so I feel I've looked at them before. They get a great shape as a monster.
That's fine.
That's fine.
You rolled quite high, so.
What I know about slards. Sure, yeah. Okay.
For some reason, I do know about slards. They are poisonous and will put little tadpoles in your belly if you're not careful. Then those tadpoles either maybe make you a slard or you give birth to a slard. I do a big hulking shrug.
Belbarum nods slowly. I have a little familiarity with these creatures. It won't be the first time I've tussled with one. I can't imagine this one's going to be too happy to see us.
Do you think it's pummeling Tipper?
There is every possibility.
Okay.
You flank around to the left. I'll blast it with some magic. Once I've got its attention and it charges me, you step out and, I don't know, pummel it, I suppose.
Yeah, okay.
She thinks for a second. Actually, I might try to bargain with it. Speak.
Oh, okay.
Nonetheless, try to hide yourself as best as you. She looks at you, looks at her. I'll hide. You try to talk to it.
I bargain with it.
I
nod.
She tries to hide. She does an okay job. There's not a lot of great places to hide. All right, Sir Helpful?
Okay, I tap it on the shoulder.
Oh, you walk right up to it. Well, it's. Are you trying? You're not trying to sneak up to it, I assume.
No, I just, if I'm bargaining with it, let's just open the dialogue.
All right, you don't get that close.
Okay, fair enough.
You're simply too big. As you approach, I'd say maybe within 60 feet, it stands up and whips around to look at you. You can see on the other side of it is the remains of a horse, which it has beat the crap out of.
It's beating a dead horse.
You can see Tipper is quite bloodied and badly bruised, just a little bit past the horse. You can see part of his actually, you can see more than just broken and bruised. Part of his face has been clawed away.
Oh, okay.
He's still alive, but only barely. The slard speaks to you telepathically from its mind into yours. What do you want?
We want the little man.
Do you control this place?
No.
You are not this realm's master.
What is master?
Ma-star.
No, I am Sir Helpful.
It looks you up and down. You are not flesh.
No, I am metal and wood.
Strange creature.
I suppose.
Can you bring me home?
Where's your home, Slard?
I come from Limbo. I get a bad boy card. You don't know what the fuck limbo is.
And bring up a big metal finger and scratch my metal head.
Maybe.
It shakes its head slowly. You are no use to me. But maybe I can reproduce with you.
I look down at my chest.
It attacks.
Oh, no. I was going to be like, yeah, that should be fine. Like, I'm mostly like cogs and stuff. Just put a baby in there, whatever. Like, it's not going to hurt. I mean, it's probably going to be worse for the slard when it pops out and instead of exploding out of my stomach, just goes bonk against the metal of my chest plate. But whatever, the frog chose violence. Let's go.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel. Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling Hyaluronic C Serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body and five types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a woman-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hey there, fellow adventurer. If you're picking up what we're putting down and want more D&D content, we have just what you need to scratch that itch. D&D is for Nerds Plus, the symbol, not the word, where you can listen to select campaigns that were once only available to SansPants Plus members. The further adventures of the Grey Hill Free Company if you want shorter campaigns with beautiful guests, and D&D is for Nerds, not Ognot, where all our non-canon D&D adventures go to rest. Just search for D&D is for Nerds on your favorite podcast app of choice and join us on this epic quest of D&D podcast discovery.